Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, friends. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's my honor to welcome you to worship this morning. We're so grateful that you decided to make this your spiritual home. As we gather for worship this morning, we want to let you know that we are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. As we gather for worship this morning, we want to take a moment to encourage you to fill out one of our digital prayer cards and our digital connection cards. And with the prayer cards, you can let us know about things that are going on in your life that you would like us to be in prayer for you. And in the connection cards, you have an opportunity to sign into worship and let us know that you are here. One other request that we have of you is if you could take a moment and share this video on your social media platform that you're watching it on, whether it's YouTube or Facebook. We believe that there are folks in our community, in your social network, that would benefit from watching this worship service and experiencing worship with us this morning. We hope that you'll take a moment to share this video so that your friends and family can have an opportunity to worship with you and with us here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We're so grateful that you decided to make this your spiritual home this morning. And as we continue our sermon series about stories that took place after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, we pray that this morning's worship service would be a blessing for you and your family. Let us worship the Lord together this day. Amen.
Save our came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you lead us through the paths of life, and we try to follow your ways. Just as you called the disciples to spread the gospel message, you reach out to us today to spread your message of hope. Give us the words to say, the actions to do, and the compassion for others, so that we can show others your love. In your name we pray. Amen. Commissioning of the 12 disciples. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Go, go, go and preach the gospel. Go into the world and tell the good news. Go, go, go and preach the gospel. Go into the world and tell the good news. Tell the world how we came to save. Tell them what his message cost. Tell the world how we came to save every single soul who's lost. came to say,
I am truth and I am light.
Tell the world what he came to say, love the Lord with all your might.
Go, go, go and preach the gospel. Go, go and tell the good news. Go, go, go and preach the gospel. Go into the world and tell the good news. Tell the world how we healed the lame, how we made the blind man see.
Join me in a word of prayer. Oh, Holy Spirit, may you be present with us in this time of worship, speaking to me and speaking through me. May you speak through the words of Scripture, that we would hear it and make some connecting dots in new ways. Holy Spirit, may it come alive for us today, that we would hear the gospel message and take it to heart and live it out in the world. Oh God, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, God, you who are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. In first grade, I joined a t-ball team. It was a co-ed team made up of other little 6-year-old and 7-year-old boys and girls from my elementary school. And I was a little 7-year-old girl on that t-ball team. I'd only played catch probably a handful of times with my dad, and I'd only practiced batting off a tee a handful of times with my dad. And I happened to miss that first t-ball practice. So I was pretty new at it, and I wasn't really sure what to do, but I was reassured that I'd be okay missing that first practice. And then I found myself heading into that first t-ball game without not a whole lot of knowledge of what was going on with the game, but I was reassured by the coach I'd be okay. But so wouldn't you know it, even though I'd missed that first practice, the coach, he put me up first to bat. And so I stepped up to bat on that first t-ball game, not really knowing what to do. And this shy little 7-year-old girl listened intently to her coach. I listened, and he told me just hit the baseball right off that tee and then run straight ahead, and I would be all right. I'd be okay. Well, taking his instructions literally, I did just that. I went up to bat. I hit the ball off the tee. I was doing well, and I ran straight ahead. I ran straight ahead to third base. Third base, you know, that's what happens when you're a lefty. I'm a lefty, and so when you're up to bat and you hit it and you run straight ahead, you go to third base. That's what happens to southpaws. Oh, I'll tell you the humiliation. I found myself running to the wrong base, heading in the wrong direction, and not only were my teammates watching, but my first grade crush was watching. Oh my goodness, what the humiliation. My little first grade self felt. I was so embarrassed. But I finished off the season. I had a great time. I played through elementary school and I played softball a year into middle school. And eventually I decided to hang up my sneakers and put on my tap shoes and my ballet shoes a little bit more often. And it wasn't then really until last Friday that I picked the baseball glove back up again. And I picked up the bat. Well, why did I do that? Well, it's for fun, because our church, we've started a softball league. Have you heard about this? And I've joined the team. They even accept people that will run to the wrong base, but I've learned that lesson. So thanks to the leadership of Megan and Charles Calvin, our church is now part of a Brighton Community Church League. We have a women's team, we have a men's team, we have a co-ed team, and practices have been starting. I've been at a couple of practices. I've enjoyed some time out on the baseball field with some church folks, and I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun, but you're definitely gonna feel it. You're gonna feel those sore muscles that the next day after working out, after hitting some balls and catching. So why am I talking about my experience with T-ball and our church softball league? You might be thinking, why am I thinking about this? Why am I talking about this? What does this have to do with our gospel lesson this morning? Well, that is a great question if you're thinking, what does T-ball and softball have to do with the Great Commission? Well, this morning we find ourselves reading Matthew's gospel, the end of Matthew's gospel, and we're studying the Great Commission. This passage is famously known as the Great Commission because Jesus gives his disciples, now 11 of the disciples, Judas is no longer with them. He's ended his life. And Jesus now gives these 11 disciples his parting words and his blessing and his call to them. He called his disciples to Galilee, where then he instructed them with these words. It's a post-Easter story. The disciples in this context are probably still trying to make sense of everything that's taken place from Jesus' death to his resurrection, and they're probably very much still wanting life to return as to normal, but life wouldn't, because they're forever going to be impacted by Jesus' death and resurrection. And so in this spirit of trying to make sense of everything, Jesus gathers with the disciples, the 11 disciples in Galilee on the mountain, and they receive their call. They receive their charge. They receive this great commission. It's to go forth, and it's to make more disciples, to multiply, to grow, to make more disciples, and to baptize, and to teach. This was the Great Commission that the 11 disciples received that day. And their life wasn't gonna go back to pre-disciple days. They weren't gonna go back to what they once knew before they met and started following Jesus. Instead, this Great Commission would beckon them, would lead them into continuing the work of Christ and into making more disciples. They're not going to return to what they once knew as normal. They were going to go forward with the ministry of Christ. When we kind of deconstruct this call to make disciples, we certainly get the insight that it's going to include baptizing and teaching. Jesus says that in the scripture. But making disciples goes beyond just those two things in the scriptures. Making disciples also happens through serving others as well, through providing food for the hungry, by healing of the sick, by working towards justice in our world. And disciple making happens when we gather for worship, either online like we are now or in person. Discipleship making happens when we pray for one another and with one another. When we study God's word, and when we share of our financial offerings, our financial blessings to God through the church. Disciple making happens when we share our time and our talents and those natural abilities that we have in service to God and use those through the church. So it's through these means of worship and study and prayer and service and giving that disciples are formed in the faith and this great commission is lived out. But if we were to stop there at just those pieces, then we'd be missing something really important, because we would be missing the call to embrace an invitational spirit. After all, how can we make disciples who are worshiping and studying and praying and serving and giving if we're not inviting people into those things? The Great Commission, it calls us to be invitational, to invite others to church activities, to invite others to our small group on our Bible study, to invite others to our UMW circle, to invite others to worship online and in person. It can be as simple as clicking share as you're gathering here right now online and sharing this to Facebook and sharing this to YouTube. Just by clicking share, you can send an invitation for someone to watch it. This Great Commission, it asks us to be invitational. And to do so to family and friends and coworkers and neighbors and folks that we might even just meet at the grocery store or in the dentist's office, to be an inviter and an includer to other people to just to come and check out our church. To come and check out our church community. And in those times, in those spaces, as we send those invites and people come and join us, then they can come learn more about Jesus. That's part of what the Great Commission asks us, to extend invites. And the Great Commission, in extending these invites, also asks us to invite others into relationship with Jesus Christ, to come to know him. For some people, that might seem overwhelming or kind of intimidating. And so I think it all begins with relationship building. It begins by sharing with our close friends and our family, and maybe even our coworkers if we have close relationships. It begins by sharing and talking about how God has been at work in your life in the past. And sharing what it is that you love about your church community. It starts with recalling and telling your personal stories of faith, maybe looking back and kind of giving witness to a hard time you went through and talking about and sharing how God helped you through that, where Jesus was for you in those moments. That's a great invitational spirit to live from. To invite others into relationship with Jesus Christ and to do so through a relationship context, not in a spirit of trying to convince people or trying to debate people with people, but just sharing your own personal stories of faith and how God has been at work in your life. I think this embracing this invitational spirit can happen in some pretty creative ways. Not just within the walls of the church, or not just online and in Zooming context, but it can also happen out on the church softball field. The church softball team has everything to do with the Great Commission. You see, through softball, folks get invited that might not be a part yet of our church community. They get invited to first come and be a part of the team, to pick up your baseball glove and lace up your sneakers and pick up the bat and to have some fun in the sunshine. And for some people, church softball league could be their first entrance, their first connection to the church. It's a creative avenue to get connected to our faith community, to build those relationships, to begin to develop that dialogue about sharing about our own individual faith journeys, and of course, have fun playing softball. And so I'm really excited about our softball league because our congregation's gonna get out in the community. We're gonna create a warm, welcoming, opening space for people to come to get to know us. And we're gonna lace up our shoes and put on our gloves and we're gonna head out on the field and we're gonna have some fun. These kind of creative ministries like softball that can be great entry points into our faith, great entry points into our church. And so if you're sitting from home or wherever you're worshiping this morning, if you're sitting here thinking, man, I have a creative idea to help get our church reaching out in the community, Pastor John and I and myself would love to hear your ideas. It's the creative ideas that we need to hear for our church to continually be invitational reaching and continue to be out in the community. So if you have an idea with the warm summer weather going, we want to hear it. If you have an idea to start a running club or a yoga group or another way for us to be out in the community and inviting others to come and be a part of what we're doing, Pastor John and I want to hear your ideas. We want to hear the creative ideas you might have. Disciple making and living out this Great Commission is powerful. And I'll tell you, it doesn't take us to travel all across the state or throughout the nation around the world for it in order to happen. But disciple making can start by living out our faith right here and now in our own church community, in our own Brighton and Whitmore Lake community. And it starts with this invitational spirit. So this week, I'd like to challenge you to invite somebody to online worship or in-person worship. You know, share this worship video on social media. I challenge you to invite somebody to your Bible study or your UMW circle or invite somebody to be a part of the mission project you engage in or direct them my way and I'll help them find a place on the softball team. Today, as you're sitting here worshiping, who do you have in mind that you might be able to send an invite to? And specifically, what's your plan? When are you going to reach out to them? And what are you going to invite them to? That's my challenge. Who will you invite? This morning in worship at our Brighton campus, I'm excited to be welcoming 8 new members into our congregation. Over the past 3 weeks, I've been leading a new member class. We've had a fantastic time on Monday nights for class and for fellowship and just getting to know one another. And so this morning in our Brighton service, we're welcoming 8 followers of Jesus to join us on the journey here. They're ready to name and they're ready to claim First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake as their spiritual home. And I'll tell you, that is pretty, pretty exciting. It's all really exciting because they have a unique story and they have a unique way in which they found our church and got connected. They have stories about who invited them. And I'll tell you, I'm really thankful for those invitations that were extended to these 8 folks because they found their way into our church community and their lives are never going to be the same as a result of it. As you think about how you first got connected to our church, How did you get connected? Did somebody invite you? It probably started with an invite. And you can come to see why inviting and embracing this invitational spirit is so important because you might not be here today if somebody hadn't invited you. So let's keep inviting others to join us on the faith journey. This morning in worship at our Brighton campus, these 8 disciples are going to profess faith in Christ, and they're going to commit to growing in their discipleship journey by sharing with us their prayers and presence and gifts and service and witness. And it's an exciting morning. And I'll tell you, though, you all have a role to play. It's not just about these new 8 disciples joining our church. But you also have a role to play. You have a role and a responsibility for praying for them, for welcoming them and inviting them into the numerous ways in which you're already connected and serving at our church. So your church homework this week is to get to know these disciples and to invite them to be a part of what you're doing, how you're growing, how you're leading, how you're serving. If you ever hesitate for a moment and wonder if you have what it takes to live out the Great Commission to which Jesus calls us, then I want you to turn back to verse 20. I want you to turn your attention back to Matthew 28, verse 20, and I want you to read again. If you ever hesitate that you have what it takes, to look at verse 20, and it says, "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the earth." If you ever hesitate or if you ever doubt for a moment that you have for what it takes to make disciples or to extend invitations for people to come and join you, remember that Jesus is with you. I am with you always, he says. I'm with you always. He's going to help you do it. At the beginning of Matthew's gospel, during his birth narrative, he's described as Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And now in the closing of Matthew's gospel, we are reminded again, he is with us. And so have courage to do something bold, to extend an invitation if you've never done it before. have that bold courage knowing Jesus is with you. He's gonna give you the words to say. He's gonna help you out. Have courage, include others, and extend some invites this week. And then I hope to see you on the softball field or watching the game or cheering us on or joining the team. And this time, church, I'm gonna remember to run to first base and not third. Amen.
Good morning, I'm Suzanne Everett. In preparing for this morning's worship service, I read today's scripture, the Great Commission. I was struck instantly by the powerful verbs throughout the passage. Words like worship, doubt, come, give, go, make, baptize, teach, obey, and command. I've heard it said that prayer is not just a pouring out to God, but it serves as a call to action as we respond to God in prayer. So as we pray today, listen for God's voice. How are you being called to act? Let's pray. God of action, God of hope, God of love, with grateful hearts, we turn to you for renewal and encouragement. We are thankful for the ways you care for us, for companionship and friends and family, for water and sun that warms us and makes the plants and crops grow. We thank you for resources and knowledge that help make the world a better place, a safer place to live and work. We confess that we have not always acted in ways that uphold your creation. Help us to go and make better choices for a fruitful, sustainable world where all your children can live safe and healthy lives. Renew in us a spirit of active love that we can share with the world. For when we act as Jesus, we act with love. Open our eyes to the injustices and hurts in our communities. Give us courage to respond with acts of hope and compassion. And Lord, help us to embrace your commandments and be one with you. We seek your blessings and healing for those who are ill or hurt, whether physically or mentally. Surround them with your comfort and an abundance of mercy. For those who are tired and weary of the pandemic, and well, frankly, who isn't, but especially we pray for those caregivers and people who are isolated for loved ones. Those who have lost friends and family members, bolster them with your strength and grace. Help us all to remember how to best care for one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray too for the leaders in our church and as well our local, state, and national governments. May the radical love exemplified by Jesus be our North Star, our guidepost for what life looks like now and always. As we think about Jesus and his disciples, we are reminded of how Jesus taught them to pray. And we repeat that prayer now, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Friends, I'd like to invite you to join me in blessing this prayer quilt, which will be given as a gift to a friend of Sue Urban. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, may this prayer quilt be a blessing. May it surround Sue Urban's friend with your steadfast love. May they feel your loving arms wrapped around them. May they know that there is a church filled with people praying for them, and may it give them comfort and peace, even in the midst of this moment. Surround her with your steadfast love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, there are many ways to respond to God's word in our midst, and one of them is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. We invite you to take a moment to visit our website to the Give tab that's online, and we encourage you to make a gift to our church if this is becoming or has been your spiritual home. Your gifts help us sustain our ministries and allow us to continue to do the great work that God has called us to do in the community. I wanted to share with you a brief update. This year, we chose the Vena Dental Clinic, one of the missions of our church that provides dental assistance to low-income folks in our community. We decided that we would support them with a year-long mission project. We're currently 75% of our way towards our goal, and today we have been collecting teeth that have been given out to folks here in our church. People took them home, put them in their bathrooms, and every time they brushed their teeth, they would put a coin or a dollar or a check or whatever into the tooth bank. And those teeth have been brought back to us in worship this morning. And we are 75% of the way towards our goal of $7,500 for this year that we want to raise for the Vena Dental Clinic. And I just got to say, I can't thank you enough for your incredible faithfulness and generosity. Thank you for helping us improve the oral health of folks in our community, and we hope that that we can reach our goal of $7,500. Thank you so much for your generosity.
The communion table is a place where all are invited and all are welcomed. At the communion table, Christ calls us to come and to receive the bread of life and to receive the cup of grace. And so this morning, as we gather digitally, as we gather at our own kitchen tables from home, as we gather across the community, we gather in spirit together, knowing that the bread of life and the cup of grace binds us together, and knowing that we are coming to receive and be nourished and fed and sustained by God's loving grace. And so this morning, as you are at your home and wherever you might find yourself worshiping, I invite you to take out your bread or your crackers, to take out your water or your juice, to receive and be prepared to receive the elements of Holy Communion together. As we gather this morning, we know and we remember that on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and they talked and they dined, and as he gathered with them on that night, he took bread, and he gave thanks to God for it, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then when the supper was over, Jesus took a cup, and again he gave thanks to God for it. He blessed it. He gave it to the disciples. And he told them, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant that's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you may in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and in thanksgiving. We offer ourselves as a holy, as a living sacrifice in union with what Christ has done for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, knowing that Christ has died and Christ has risen and Christ will come again, let us pray. Oh, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and of the cup. May them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all of the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. May we receive the bread of life with thanksgiving. May we receive the cup of grace with gratitude and joy this day. Amen.
One, two, three, four. To his table.
As we leave this time of worship, may the love of God always be with you. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ surround you. May the power of the Holy Spirit fill you, giving you courage, giving you ideas of how our church community can be reaching out into to Brighton and to Whitmore Lake and the surrounding area, giving you creative ideas to become an even more invitational church. Church softball, it's a great thing. So I'm excited to lace up my shoes and put on my glove and pick up the bat, because relationships are going to be made and folks are going to find their way into the church community, and we're just going to have a lot of fun. So Pastor John and I want to hear your creative ideas about how we might be an even more invitational, outreaching church and doing things like softball and so many more. So go in peace this day, church, to love and to serve the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week. Thank you.
Thank you.